So then we get into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, we're still praising. Chapter 4 is all about praising. That's where he first gets up to heaven, sees the throne and all that. It's about praising the Creator God, the God on the throne. Chapter 5 is similar, except the praise shifts. That came out as shays. But the praise shifts from the Creator God to the Lamb. To the Lamb, which is first, obviously, represented as the lion. But before we get there, let's talk about the scroll. Because what first happens is the scroll is introduced and no one's able to open the scroll. This is really just for some night when you're at trivia. We don't need to dwell on this unless people want to talk more about it. But I mean, this is basically the scroll has been said to represent several different things. Most of the authors I read said there's not any strong case for any one of these. It's kind of just how people, it's kind of like the four apostles being the four creatures. I think it's more of these are the traditions that have arisen over the centuries. People have come up with these different ideas. It could be, number one, the scroll of law, which would basically contain the will and judgments, God's judgment against violators, and also what God's will would be. Some people have seen it as the book of the prophets, which God's threats and future judgments, but also the promise of victory, which is kind of like Revelation itself, basically. Some people have seen it as a lot of people tie it back to the prophetic scroll given to Ezekiel. And that reasoning basically being is that when you read in Revelation, it talks about there being writing on both the front and the back, and the scroll that was given to Ezekiel is the same thing. It had writing on both sides. So a lot of people have grabbed onto that verse and tied it to that. A lot of people refer to it as the heavenly tablets of destiny, which is, some of these overlap. I mean, that's basically another view of God's decisions about the coming future. Then there's that one, anyone saw my Facebook post when we started this class, there's that one known as the Book of Life, which I did bring a copy. I have that. If anyone wants to know if your name's in it, let me know. I've got it in here. Some of you I might not tell. I'm just letting you know. I had one friend that asked me if her name was in it, and I said, yeah, but it's under your maiden name, so I think it's too late. She was already married. Sorry. Bad mistake on your part. Now you're out. Oh. But no, some people refer to it as the Book of Life, which, as we all know, is where the names of the redeemed are inscribed. That's talked about later on. Some people refer to it as the heavenly books in which deeds are recorded for judgment, which is basically kind of the same thing we've talked about with all of them. And the final one usually is known as the Last Will and Testament. And the idea behind that really is that in John's day, a final will would have been sealed with seven seals. So that's where a lot of people draw off of that, is, you know, how they did the wax and they would seal the paper. If it's a final will, somebody's will would seal it seven times. So it would be harder to break until after they were dead, was the whole idea. It would be sealed well. So that's just, you know, that's the idea